Morning everybody, Thursday 19th of November, and the US market took a bit of a break overnight. Dow Jones down 345, which is 1.16%, NASDAQ down 0.8%. Not too much to report except for some vaccine news. I'll come to that in a minute. We've got jobs numbers today and a few AGMs, quite a few AGMs actually. SEEK, perhaps one of the more interesting ones, and there are quite a few real estate investment trusts with AGMs today. ResMed results tomorrow will be of interest to us. And Sydney Airport's traffic figures, although we're pretty sure we know what those are going to say. Our market is at the highest it's been since late February. The chart of the ASX 200 is in the strategy piece today. We've broken out of that sideways trading band. But it does feel like we've got a much more settled market than we've been used to. And long may that continue. We've spent the last 4 years as fund managers in a state of what you might call mild anxiety, constantly looking over our shoulder for the next unpredictable development, with an undercurrent of trade wars, equity market overvaluation, questions about how long the market could stay up whilst it's awash with GFC money printing 10 years later. Then the pandemics hit, more money printing, a US election which was more pantomime than politics. But suddenly, things have changed. In 2 weeks, our world and your world, the investors' world, has become a much more comfortable place in our view. At this point, we don't have an overvalued equity market. Maybe the US is a bit overvalued in places, but that's all big tech stuff. We're on a trajectory back to a pre-pandemic normality. The adults are back in charge in the US. And our baseline, or where we are at the moment, is an Australian equity market that's not overvalued anymore, but could, in some sectors, be offering a multi-decade buying opportunity. Plus, we're in Australia, which is not, South Australia aside, which does not have this do we need to lock down before the vaccine arrives conundrum going on, which could confuse the equity markets in the Northern Hemisphere. All in all, the Australian equity market is beginning to feel comfortable for the first time in a long time. And I noticed yesterday one of our members posted on Facebook, I think in our stock discussion group, that they would be more interested in our SMAs if we had, I'm not quite sure the words they used, but basically implying if we had smaller companies in there, which I see as yes, confidence is returning. It's a sign from you guys that market optimism is improving and there is a recovery in risk appetite, which is a good thing. Although I have to say, we're not about to flood the SMA with smaller, aggressive stocks. I'm afraid you can do that yourselves. That's what we've got Henry for. Read Henry's take for more sex than we provide in the more responsible SMAs. But the bottom line is, whilst it is subject to change on a daily basis, that we're not worrying about the market, in inverted commas, for the first time possibly in years. And we feel we've got the right portfolio construction, which is weighted to recovery sectors at the moment. And if things stay like this, then the game is going to return to stock picking rather than paranoid market watching. And whilst the pressure's on for us to find another Afterpay or the stock for 2021 or the stocks for 2021, just for now, as we're 2 weeks into this vaccine arriving and US election over period, let's just for now lounge in the feeling that the outlook is seemingly improving, the strategy is well set, and the stock picking for now will do until something sexier comes along. All in all, everything's a lot more comfortable than it has been over the last few years. Now, I wrote an article yesterday when I talk about recovery sectors. It was all in the strategy piece yesterday. If you missed it, I've put all that on a Livewire article and you can click to that through the strategy piece. Send me viral, make me popular. And that article will tell you, if you hadn't already spotted it, I've called it Recovery Sectors Made Obvious. It'll make it obvious to you which sectors have the most recovery potential. We covered that yesterday. Meanwhile, a few little things today. Jobs numbers today, as I say. Vaccine news. There's a New York Times article reporting on a study saying COVID-19 immunity may last for years. Pfizer has said that their follow-up data on the vaccine suggests that the vaccine is 95% effective. Moderna's, of course, was 94.5% effective. They wouldn't want to get left behind, would they? And they will apply for emergency use authorization, EUA, as they've acronymed it, within days. And they expect to have 50 million vaccines, which will cover 25 million people. There are two doses per person, before the end of the year. And they have the capability of producing 1.3 billion doses next year. Otherwise, the virus news is terrible, as you might expect. US hospitalizations up, Ohio imposing a curfew, New York City going into partial lockdown, Tokyo raising the alert to the highest level. And the Democrats have asked to resume coronavirus stimulus bill talks. Today is options and futures expiry in our market, which can lead to extra volume and volatility on the open, although it all looks pretty passive at this point. Good housing numbers in the US. The housing market is recovering here and in the US. They had the NAHB home builder sentiment for November index yesterday, and it was the third straight record number that's in the US, which of course they're blaming on low mortgage rates. The VIX volatility index, I've got a chart of that in the strategy piece, that's settling down nicely. And you've probably read about the Bank of America's November Global Fund Manager Survey, which is the most bullish this year, on the back of the vaccine, election, and macro optimism, they say. And the number of bulls is up, the number of bears is down. All good stuff. Now, the major event yesterday, even though I've done the strategy, the major event yesterday was the AFR conference, which, of course, being a media company, is widely written up. But there was some criticism of the regulators from Josh Frydenberg, and I've got a comment about that in the strategy piece from our side of the fence. Josh Frydenberg's asking the regulators, which is APRA and ASIC, to stop hampering the economic recovery and rather than add to the complexity of doing business with unnecessary interventions. He suggests that they should be more flexible. And he also puts his foot on them, saying that they must pursue their mandates in a manner that is consistent with the will of Parliament. It is the Parliament who determines who and what should be regulated. It is the role of regulators to deliver on that intent, not to supplement, circumvent, or frustrate it. And the ASIC spokesperson in the conference yesterday agreed and said it is time for us to simplify. No, sorry, not simplify. Well, it is time for them to simplify. It is time for us to simply get on with it. Anyway, the banks yesterday, on the idea that ASIC have overdone it on those responsible lending laws, Frydenberg made the point that ASIC had managed to write 100 pages of regulatory guidance on top of the laws and had 38 detailed examples of how the law is affected. Anyway, overkill. And the banks are thinking that the regulator's going to go easier on them and that will bring dividend normalization forward. So yesterday, CBA was up 2.9%, NAB 2.1%, ANZ 1.3%, Westpac 2.3%, Bendigo Adelaide 4.4%, Bank of Queensland 2.8%. And all this, let's get the economy going, stop regulating, is good for the housing-related stocks because it's all about loans, it's all about businesses and consumers being able to get loans and the regulator not holding that process up. But regulation aside, boring. More interesting was Frydenberg saying the economy is recovering faster than expected. The CBA CEO said or talked about rapidly improving conditions and substantially upgrading their forecasts for next year. The speed of recovery has been faster than we'd anticipated and a lot better than we feared. And we are increasingly optimistic. They upgraded their GDP forecast. The NAB CEO said the Australian economy is getting back to pre-COVID levels by the end of 2021. The Bank of Queensland said loan applications were skyrocketing. It's all a good vibe. And it follows on from Jerome Powell this week, saying that what would hurt the economy was risk aversion and that people need to take risks. Anyway, bank sector doing well. Today it's dead in the water, but yesterday did well. I've got a chart of the bank sector in the strategy piece. And I've got all the broker research recommendation summaries. And I would tell you, they don't look that good. And in fact, on the charts, you'll find most of the banks are now overbought on a daily and even a weekly chart. And whereas 2 months ago, the average broker target price was 20-25% above the current share price for most of the major banks, this is where they are now. The average broker target price for Commonwealth Bank is 11.6% below the current share price. National Bank, 6.8% below the current share price. Westpac, 4.7% above. ANZ, 1% above. Bendigo Adelaide, 8.9% below. Bank of Queensland, 5.6% below. In other words, in all cases, except for Westpac, and only marginally so at Westpac, in all cases, brokers are suggesting that the banks are now overvalued. And I'm not talking my own book there because we hold them in the income portfolio. Right, Aristocrat Leisure up 3.8% yesterday after results. Broker summary and charts in the strategy piece. Trend looks good. It's up again today. A2 Milk fell 4.8% on its AGM yesterday. It's down another 1% today. Challenging first half, they talked about. The chart looks rather good, although yesterday might just turn the trend. So we do hold it. We're hoping that there'll be a mellowing in Chinese-Australian relations at some point, and A2 Milk will see the benefit. Chart certainly suggests that it's bottom of the trading range and just beginning to show signs of life until yesterday at the support level. Right, technical observations today, almost none around, so I put some half interesting charts in on S&P 500, new record high, gold price coming off the top, but nothing too disastrous. Treasury Wine Estates bottoming, Unibail Rodamco bottoming, Mervac, which has its AGM today, bottoming, NAB looking overbought, Afterpay pausing but not falling, and Zip, which we do hold, bouncing along support, hasn't done terribly well in the last week or so. Right, that's about it. As I leave you, features include Crown down 3.2%. You will have seen all that on the media. Insurance looking weak. QBE, Suncorp, Metway down 4% and 3.5%. BlueScope Steel, written up by Goldman's as a buy yesterday, jumped yesterday, up another 6% today. Lithium stocks going up today. And that's about that. A rather comfortable absence of major activity today, which is good. Weather's fabulous. Might just see if I can pop 9 holes in before twilight. You have yourself a wonderful day, and I will speak to you tomorrow.